When applying for IPR suspension or drawback, the importer can request to use equivalents. Imagine the following scenario. You import 5 kilograms of chemicals to be incorporated into your car shampoo product, as well as buying 10 kilograms of the same chemicals from another UK supplier. You use the UK sourced chemical in the car shampoo that is subsequently exported, and the imported chemical is used in car shampoo that is sold to UK customers. Customs would need to be satisfied that you have re-exported the imported chemicals. Unfortunately, as the imported chemical was released to free circulation, you would not be able to claim any duty relief. This could be an administrative pain if the importer had to keep each of the chemicals separate and also track where they had come from just to claim duty relief. Equivalence allows you to store equivalent goods together and pretend that the exported goods contained the chemical that was imported. It is covered in Article 114, paragraph E, and Article 115 of the Code. So, what exactly constitutes equivalent goods? Article 541 of the Implementing Regs says that if the goods fall within the same 8-digit tariff code, have the same technical characteristics, and are of the same commercial quality, you can count them as equivalent goods. Therefore, it does not matter which of the chemicals were re-exported and which stayed in the EU. If we have exported car shampoo containing at least 5 kilograms of chemical, we will get duty relief on the whole lot that we imported. This is advantageous to the importer because, essentially, he can pretend which chemicals were exported and which were released to free circulation. And to make everything even better, he can match his imports on a first-in, first-out basis, i.e., match with the earliest imports first. This is useful, given that there is a maximum time limit for the importation, processing, and re-exporting to have occurred. Remember the throughput period we talked about earlier? A variation on equivalence is prior export equivalence, detailed in Article 115, subsection 1, paragraph B of the Code. To use this, you must operate suspension. You can see this in Article 126, subsection 2. It works by allowing the export of equivalent UK goods before the import occurs. For example, the car shampoo manufacturer, as in the previous example, was intending to import the 5 kilograms of chemical he needed, incorporate it into the shampoo, and then re-export the finished product. Due to a problem with the overseas supplier, the delivery is delayed. The manufacturer needs to satisfy his customer, so uses locally sourced chemicals to make the shampoo before exporting the finished product. His delivery from the non-EU country finally arrives, and he uses that in car shampoo, which is sold within the UK. Ignoring the fact that the export happened before the import, we have imported 5 kilograms of chemical and re-exported 5 kilograms of chemical in the finished car shampoo. Under prior export equivalence, you are allowed to claim duty relief on the 5 kilograms of imported chemical, provided that the imports arrive within 6 months of the export having occurred. This is reduced to 3 months for agricultural products. See Article 543 of the Implementing Regs. We have said that prior export equivalence is only available under suspension, and this means that when the imported chemical finally arrives, duty is not paid on it, and never will be, because we have exported the same quantity of chemical within the last 6 months. A very useful customs regime if you have a tardy supplier. An important aspect of the authorization is something called the rate of yield. Customs will need the importer to set a rate of yield, which must be detailed on the application form, or C88, if the importer uses a simplified authorization. This is the amount of imported goods used in the processing operation, what products result from the operation, and whether any byproducts are produced. For example, rolls of material are imported in 30-meter quantities. The material is used to make t-shirts, of which 60 are produced. The rate of yield would be 30 meters of material to 60 t-shirts. Standard rates of yield are set out for certain products and processes. You will find these in Annex 69. They cover foodstuffs, for example, oats made into bran. To calculate the duty relief we're entitled to, we need to look at how many of the t-shirts were exported. In our example, 50 of the t-shirts are exported, with the remaining 10 being diverted to free circulation. To calculate the customs duty due, we can use something called the quantitative scale method. This bases the duty relief on the quantity of the t-shirts that are exported. So, in our example, we exported 50 t-shirts out of the 60 that were produced. If we multiply this by the duty suspended on the 30 meters of cloth, it will tell us how much duty relief we can get. You will find this method in Article 518, Subsection 2, Paragraph A of the Implementing Regs. But what if byproducts are produced? Imagine, in the previous example, where we had imported the 30 meters of material to make up 60 t-shirts, but there was some scrap material left over. For a start off, the rate of yield will be different, because you need to take account of all products produced from the imported material. Therefore, if the scrap material is not re-exported, but all of the t-shirts are, we would not be able to claim 100% relief for the duty on the 30 meters of material. You can, however, pay duty on the scrap material at the rate applicable to the scrap, as though you had imported that into the EU in the first place. So if the scrap has a lower duty rate than the imported material, this would be beneficial. To be able to use the rate applicable to the byproducts, the goods and processing undertaken must be listed in Annex 75 of the Implementing Regs.
Our products could fall within Annex 75 as waste or offcuts resulting from the manufacture of the t-shirts.
The quantitative scale method that we have just seen would not work in all circumstances, and we may have to use the value scale method. Take the following example. We are still importing 30 meters of cloth from a non-EU member state. The cloth has two different textures on it. The cloth is then processed and makes 40 t-shirts and 30 pairs of shorts. The t-shirts are made from one part of the cloth, whilst the shorts are made from the other. Only 20 pairs of the shorts are re-exported, and we need to calculate the duty relief that will be given on the original 30 meters of imported cloth. We can't use the quantitative scale method, as not all elements of the imported product are found in each of our t-shirts and shorts. Instead, we use the value scale method. To do this, we need to establish the value of the compensating products that were produced from the 30 meters of cloth. We will imagine that 40 t-shirts have a value of £400 in total, and the 30 pairs of shorts have a value of £5 each to come to a total of £150. If we add up the total value of what we have managed to produce, we have £550 worth of total products. We need to work out what meters of cloth have been used to make the t-shirts and the shorts, and we do this by using the value of the goods produced. So, if we take the value of the shorts, which is £150, and divide it by the total value of goods produced, the £550, and times the answer by the 30 metres, it tells us that 8.18 metres must have been used to produce the shorts. That means that the remaining 21.82 metres of cloth must have been used to produce the t-shirts. As we have re-exported only 20 of the shorts, then duty relief will be available on 20 out of the 30 shorts produced, times by the 8.18 metres. Therefore, duty relief will be granted for 5.45 metres of the original 30 metres imported. The final thing that we are going to look at in this lecture is how IPR can be ended or discharged without duty becoming due. Imagine you import metal sheets for processing. The most common way of ending the procedure without duties being due is by re-exporting the product after it has been processed. You can also end IPR by removing your metal tools to a customs warehouse. You will learn more about customs warehouses in a later lecture. You can remove your tools to another customs regime called temporary importation. And if you had originally imported your metal sheets to IPR drawback, then if you place them under IPR suspension, you can reclaim your duty. You can also sell your goods to another IPR trader. Provided the buyer disposes of the goods in a qualifying way, duty will not be due. You will see all of these listed in Article 128 of the Code. Import VAT relief can be obtained under the Onward Supply Relief Rules. These are contained in Regulation 123 of the VAT Regulations. This is where the unprocessed goods are put into free circulation and the customs duty is paid, but the goods are destined for a trader in another member state. Provided the goods are consigned to a registered trader in another member state, and leave the UK within 1 month of release to free circulation, no import VAT is due. Instead, the acquirer accounts for supply VAT in their own country. Have a go at some more examples. Equivalent goods must 1. Fall within the same what number of digits tariff code, and 2. Have the same what, and 3. Be of the same what. You need to fill in the blanks on the screen. Type in the missing words. Our final look in this lecture is at returns and records. All traders should keep sufficient records so customs can ensure that the procedure is being carried out correctly. The records should show details of goods entered for the regime, including their technical characteristics, commodity code, etc. Any transfers of IPR goods to or from other IPR holders, the processing undertaken on the goods, the rate of yield, how the goods were disposed of, for example, exports and other disposals. Records should be kept for 4 years. If a person fails to comply with their authorization or the law, they could be liable to the civil penalties we looked at earlier. Breaching prescribed rules could result in fines of £1,000 or £2,500. If a trader operates suspension, he needs to submit returns to customs. These returns are made on Form C&E 812 for authorizations other than the simplified one. They are made usually monthly or quarterly and detail the goods received and their destination after processing. The return enables customs to see what goods were diverted to free circulation and therefore what duty and compensatory interest is due. A drawback trader needs to reclaim his duty once he has disposed of his goods in a qualifying way. The claim is made on Form C&E 813 for authorizations other than the simplified one and is usually submitted on a monthly or quarterly basis. The claim must be submitted within 6 months of export, otherwise customs might not repay the duty. Our final look in this lecture is at a special situation involving civil aircraft. Where parts such as nuts and bolts are imported to IPR and are used in the manufacture of civil aircraft, then eligible operators are allowed to treat this as discharging the IPR procedure. This means that although the parts have not been exported, duty relief will be given as though they had been.